Jesus. You are amazing. Every promise you have made is fulfilled. Is fulfilled this morning, this evening. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Every promise is fulfilled. Every word that you have spoken. You said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because every word you speak is truth. Every word you speak, we can trust. Every word you speak, we can expect to see fulfilled in our lives, in our circumstances, Jesus. Oh, Rabakashiando, Rabakasande. In John chapter 6, verse 29, people asked Jesus what the work is that God required of them. And Jesus simply answered, the work of God is this, to believe. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Before he asks you for anything else, he says, believe in the one the Father has sent. Believe that. Believe I am the one the Father has sent. And if you believe that I am him, then you need to believe everything I tell you. Because the Father has sent me to tell you the truth. And Jesus says, believe. You don't have to do anything. You don't. Before you do anything else, you have to believe in the one the Father has sent. I was reading something that a couple of days ago, and it was that God's promises are like a check. And if I know we're going between phasing our checks and not phasing our checks, I'm not sure where we are at the moment, but when you get a check made out for a sum of money, there's only one thing you can do with it, and it's put in the bank. But you have to put it in the bank. You can say, I have this check for £1,000 here. It's a great check. It's got my name on it. It's a promise from somebody to pay me £1,000. And I'll just keep it in my pocket. And if ever things get rough, I'll just take it out and say, I've got a check for £1,000 here. This check. But unless we take that check and we put it in the bank, you can never use the £1,000. It's not yours to use. And in the same way, God's promises to you and I are a check. It contains a promise. And what we do with that promise defines what we will get from him. And so if we say, well, I've got the promises from God, but like the check, I'll keep it there. And maybe one day when it's really going tough, I might just cash the check, but I'm not sure. Or maybe I can't believe that this check's not going to bounce. So I'm probably not going to put it in the bank because they'll charge me to bounce the check. And so I won't have the promise that God made. And so God says to us this night, every promise my son has made you, you can have. It's like a check God's written right now and given it to you. He's saying, this check contains whatever it is I've promised you in your circumstances right now. And you can take this check, and you can take it, and you can use this check, or you can keep it in your pocket. Or you can put it in a drawer and leave it, and you'll never have what that check has promised you. Jesus said the only work that he asks us to do is to believe in him. Nothing else does he ask except to believe in him. And this singly, to trust him, is the hardest thing for most of us to live consistently with and say, I can live in that place where I'm trusting him every day for my life, for my circumstances. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, don't worry. Now, if the Son of God says don't worry, I guess that's a pretty good check to cash. But you could say, well, you know, I actually worry so well, I think I'll just worry a little bit now and again. When it looks like it's something too big for God, I might have to worry a bit. Or God, you don't know my circumstances. They're more difficult than anybody else's. So it needs a good bit of worry from me to see something happen here. But Jesus said, do not worry. We should be the most worry-free people on the planet. We should be so full of no worry that it doesn't matter what comes against us. Where our response is not anxiety or worry. Our response is rest. I suppose it's just rest. Just I'm resting in the faith of God. I'm resting in the promises of God. And no matter what it is that comes to me, I choose to rest. I choose not to be in panic about this. Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or what you'll wear. Jesus said, you can't even add an extra hour to your life by worrying, so why bother worrying? Well, you can do nothing. We can have you in the best intensive care unit in the world. But when your time's up, your time's up. And worrying won't extend it. So why worry? One of the most beautiful places that God has planned for you and I is to live in the place of rest. If you read in Hebrews 4 and 5, living in the place of his rest, where there is no anxiety about anything, where nothing matters. I often think of David as a young lad when he confronted Goliath. And Goliath had terrorized the entire Israeli army for, I don't know how long, quite a while. And Goliath arrived with a check. David arrived with a check. And David's check simply said this: this man who has no covenant with God has no right to terrify anybody who belongs to God. And that was the basis on which David decided that he could do this, that he could tackle this giant and get him out of the way. Not because he thought he was very good with a slingshot when he used to put his Coke cans on the rock and practice knocking them off. But because he knew the covenant that God had made with him as a Jew. And because God had made a covenant with him, he could trust God. That was his check, waiting to be used. And we read that when David went onto the field, Saul tried to equip him with his armor. And David said, I can't fight this on the basis of good armor or good weaponry, because I'm fighting on the basis of my check. The check is my covenant with God that says this man who has no covenant cannot terrorize us. And so David goes onto the field of battle. And as the enemy always does, as David comes towards him, he immediately begins to throw threats at David, because he knows if he can get one threat to just take root, he's got him. So he starts saying, who are you coming against me with sticks and stones? Today, I will feed your body to the birds of the air. You're dead meat. And David answers with what's written on the check. He says, you come against me with sword and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the living God. That's what's written on the check here. And so David does what we can only do when we trust. He runs towards the giant. Most people would have stepped back from the giant. And David runs towards him. And when he gets to the right distance, he takes his sling and he puts a stone in and he releases the stone. And God makes the stone travel at great velocity. And God positions the stone exactly where it needs to be. And God drops the giant on the ground. David didn't mind it was that it was God and not him, because David knew all along it was going to be God. So David just used the check. The check that said, no one without a covenant with God can ever threaten you. He's got to pay with his life if he threatens you. So he paid with his life. Now in the same way, probably in this room, every one of us face challenges of many different kinds. You could be facing health challenges. You could be facing relationship challenges. You could be facing work challenges, financial challenges. There are a myriad of challenges. All of them, in a sense, are Goliaths. But all of them stand opposed to what Jesus said. Jesus said, do not worry. So here is our chance. We either take the check out and we say, I've come to cash my check. Or we say, well, maybe it won't work. Maybe I can't believe you, Jesus. If you appeared in heaven right now, just before my eyes, in a flaming chariot and fanfares of trumpets, I might be able to believe you. But I'm not sure if I can believe you if you don't do that for me. And Jesus says, do not worry. There's a beautiful phrase from a song that Jason Upton sings. Trust is the purest form of worship. Trusting God is the purest form of worship there is. There isn't anything more pure than saying, God, I believe you. I believe every word you've spoken. I believe everything that you have promised me will be fulfilled. So I'm not going to worry about it. Anxiety is not going to be my natural response. My default response is going to be, pull the check out. The moment a challenge comes, pull the check out. What does God say about this challenge? Does God want to deal with it in a particular way with a slingshot and a stone? Or how does God want to deal with this challenge? And you know, the ones of us who walk closely and we're listening to what he's saying every day, we got exactly what he says. We know exactly where we've got to go, what we've got to do in that circumstance. So God says to you today, do not worry. I want to read you a promise from Isaiah chapter 40. It says, even youths grow tired. It's Isaiah 40 verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, don't they, Lucia? And young men stumble and fall, don't they, Paul? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I will be strong, just like Caleb said. I'm as strong in my 80s with a sword as I was as a young man. I still am strong. I just work more wisely now. What are you going to believe? Are you going to look at your circumstances? They will renew their strength and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. The ones whose trust is in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. I hope in him every day. I hope, my hope is set upon him. And every day I live with this hope coming through my life, coming through my heart. I live in hope every day that God will do what he said he would do. And I need never doubt that because God is faithful to me. And I need not be afraid. There are so many people that are in such dire situations. I was reading a story about Mother Teresa in the gutters of Calcutta, looking after people who have the most dreadful circumstances. And They looked at this and they thought, nobody would ever want to come here. And this woman has chosen to live here. And she said, they said to her, why are you here? And she said, I just followed Jesus. This is where he was going, so I came with him. And there's the key. Jesus says, will you follow me? Are you prepared to trust me? Like Heidi Baker, you might end up in Mozambique where people make attempts on your life regularly. Will you learn to find trust in God? Will you find God's provision with millions and millions of dollars every month to pay to feed thousands of people, to see the dead raised, to see the sick healed? It starts with that one simple thing. The check. I choose to use the check. I choose to be a check man. I choose to be a man who will use the check no matter what happens. I'm not going to trust in the circumstances. I'm going to trust in the check. Because God's written the check. And God's checks don't bounce. God's checks all are honored. Whenever we choose to believe the check, God honors the check, and God gives us what that check is for. I was thinking about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all these amazing greater prophets, and then all the what is called the lesser prophets, not because they prophesied less significant words, but shorter words. And all these guys, most of them were warning Israel over and over and over, warning Judah, warning them, warning them, warning them. If you don't turn, if you don't turn back to God, God will take you and drag you off into exile. And they lived their lives for that. And Israel didn't turn. They were dragged off into exile. Did they fail? No, they were faithful with what God asked. They were totally successful with what God asked. And their words remain here for us today to take hold of and live from. But you see, we have to learn from these great, great saints who walked without doubting God, walked and said, but God said, and therefore God will. I was thinking of Jehoshaphat, who was threatened by three nations who came against his little nation called Judah. And he knew he didn't have stand a chance. And they did what they could only do. They got before God. And they said, God, what do you say? And God sends a prophet, and the prophet says, don't worry, it's not your battle. It's going to be all right. Now, that was the check. Now, Jehoshaphat could have said, well, I've got the check in my back pocket, but just in case, we'll just get the Egyptian army to come and join us as well. And we'll put everybody with a weapon in the front, and then we'll advance, just in case. He put the praise singers in the front. The guys who sing. I mean, who puts the singers in the front of the army? He puts them there and they go marching off, singing, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His love endures forever. Not, roar, we're going to go and slay some giants out there. His love endures forever. Their confidence was in the writer of the check. The one who wrote the check loves me so much forever. I need have no fear. And so he turns up with his check, having cashed it, to find that God had slain the entire army that had come against them. Guys, God wants to slay the armies that come against you. God wants you to become a giant slayer in your own circumstances. You know, my old granny, she was ancient when she died. She was old and feeble, old lady, and she had this incredible fire in her. This fire that didn't give up. And she used to say to her, she used to tell her, she says, you know, sometimes I'll be praying and I'll see demons. And she says, you know what they look like? They look between a cross between a monkey and a dog. And she says, you know what? I say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And she says, you know what? They run away with their tails between their legs just like a dog. See, she knew the power of the check. She knew this check will always get honored. I have never got any reason to doubt that this check will be honored. And God is asking us today, as we go into this next season, guys, even though the fig tree doesn't give us any fruit, though there be no fruit on the vine, even though our cattle die in the shed, yet I will trust in the God of my salvation. I will trust in Him. That's where I will succeed. That's where your life will become a potent place. That's where you will become the Heidi Bakers and the Nicholas Bengus and the Catherine Kuhlmans and the Benny Hinns and the awesome people, John G. Lakes of this world, came from that one place they chose not to doubt God. They just chose to believe. William Branham just believed God. Look, Jesus said, we will do greater things than he did because he's going to the Father. Who, me? That's your check. And what am I going to do with this check? Well, I'll keep it because I'm not actually William Branham, so I might not be the one who cashes this one. And so you'll never do that. But he says, are you prepared to believe? Are you prepared to trust me? And take hold of what I've promised you and go do it. Are you prepared to run at that giant? Are you prepared to make that giant fall? Because you trust me to make the giant drop. Because God gathers, guys, as we're moving on in this world and as this world is changing, God is looking for giant slayers. God is looking for the people who decide not to be ordinary. People who will not decide to just get through the Christian life and get to their funeral one day and say, well, I managed not to sin badly, so I'm probably going to be all right. God's looking for people who will victoriously march through to their last day, slaying giants, setting free captives, encouraging other people because you got up and did something about it. Because you got up and chose to slay the giant and believe God, other people will get up and slay giants too. What happened when David killed Goliath? The whole Israelite army rose up and began to pursue the Philistines all the way to Gath. That's what happens when somebody decides to slay the giant. You will begin to change people in this nation, in this city. Ha! Sharabakasende. So what are you going to do? So what are we going to do? You got a choice. Have you got a check?
Yes.
You got a check? You want to hold your check up? Just hold your check up if you got one. Just hold your check up. Say, here's my check. Here's my check. It's every promise that Jesus made. On this check, it says, do not worry. This check says, do not worry. This check says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. My God shall supply all your needs. My Jesus says, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus says, you will do greater things than I've done because I'm going to the Father. Jesus says, in this life you'll have many problems, but do not worry, for I've overcome this world already. You just go and use that. In fact, God says, you're more than an overcomer. That's what it says on this check. Now, I want to see something amazing happen. You put your checks down for a minute. I want to see something amazing happen here. I want to see that in 10 years' time, I could still be here. 10 years' time, I want to see none of you here anymore because I'm listening to stories about you. I listened to Dan, who's gone off into the East End of London and turn it upside down and released so many captives out of drug addiction. Homeless people are living in homes. Dan has started a ministry with Ross and loads of people are set free. That's what I want to see in 10 years' time. We're the sending ministry. That's what we're here to do. Send them out. Send them out. Elaine and Ephraim, you're going to build this huge church in your Nigeria. Ephraim's not even looking at me. He's terrified by the whole idea. Margaret, you're going to change people's lives because you believe. You're going to change people's lives. You're going to show people that they can believe too. Wendy, you are going to set your family free. Then you're going to begin to set all the other captives free. You're going to show other families how to do this. I'm telling you, there is nothing you can't do. And Wangari in Mombasa, mama to thousands of orphans, feeding them, raising them up, healing the lepers. There's nobody here that doesn't have a check. You have a check. What you got to decide is, what am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with your check? Oh, Father. Here we are. We've got a check in our hand. Oh, Father, we've got all the promises you've made us. Father, we make a decision tonight. We make a decision to believe you. We make a decision to no longer believe the circumstances, even if they are shouting at us. We choose to no longer believe them. We choose to believe what you wrote on the check. He's not here for giving in. We're here for cashing the check and taking hold of the promises. And Father, I ask in each one of our lives, I ask that we will not be ordinary people in this room. I ask that we will be extraordinary people doing mighty exploits for our God. That we will change this world because we lived in it. That people will write books about some of these people in this room. People will put them on the news because they're so extraordinary as people. None are ordinary. They are in covenant with God. No one is ordinary in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sharabakasin, Darabakasabrabiabo, Jibrastorabrabakarabrabasabrabakarabrabian. So, what do you want? What are you believing for? You're saying, what will I do? What is the work I'm to do? The work is to trust. Just trust. Everything flows out of trust. Everything comes out of trust. I will trust. I choose to trust. I choose to trust. I choose to take hold of the promise. Jesus.